The rabbi is coming and the rabbi is here.
Good morning, Ilan.
Good morning, rabbi. How are you?
Thank God, and how are you?
I'm doing good.
That's good.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about this week's Torah portion.
Yeah.
Which is...
Shoftim.
Shoftim, which is all about judges. So judges and justice and witnesses. So, you know, Moses instructed Jewish people of Israel to appoint judges and law enforcement officers in every city. And he says that you must administer justice without corruption or favoritism. Crimes have to be meticulously investigated. There have to be credible witnesses. It also talks about the prohibition against idolatry, sorcery, governing, the appointment and behavior of a king, city of refuge, so on and so forth. It's a very, very interesting Torah portion. And, you know, especially now in the time of Elul, in the time of the month before Elul,
yeah,
where we see that it's traditionally a time of introspection and stock-taking, because really, it's a month before Rosh Hashanah.
It's a countdown starts.
Right. So, you know, the question always is we always talk about being, you know, repenting, doing teshuvah, so on and so forth. But do I need to be perfect? You know, there's certain times you say, well, you know, I don't really want to be a hypocrite. I don't really believe in kosher. Do I need to eat kosher, or I don't believe in this, and I don't want to do this because I don't believe in it. So many, many things we always look and say is, do I need to be a perfect person? Do I need to be a perfect person in order to repent? By me repenting, does that make me a perfect person? Does God expect me to be perfect? You know, people think that obviously that's what it is. It sure seems that way. You know, throughout life, 24/7, we're expected to do good and avoid all evil, be righteous, not be wicked. No excuses. The question that is asked is, well, and we always ask that to ourselves, to friends, what if we make a mistake? What if we get lazy and self-indulgent for a moment? And we do something that's not most befitting. Well, what happens then? Then we need to get perfect in order to fix it. And there was once the Hasidic master, Reb Zusha of Anapoli. He was from Anapol,
mm-hmm,
and his name was Zusha, so they would call him Reb Zusha of Anapoli. Explained that the very word teshuvah, commonly translated, as most people know, as repentance, but if you really think about it, it literally meaning to return. Tashuv.
Yeah.
You know, it alludes to a sequential pattern that achieves a proper return and repairs broken relationships. Now, each of the five letters of the Hebrew words of Teshuvah, Tav, Shin, Vav, Vet, and Hey,
yeah,
really alludes to another step. One of them is the first letter, which is Tet, which alludes to the verse of which comes from... I believe it's from Deuteronomy in Devarim, where it says, "Tamim tiya im Hashem Elokecha." Be tamim with the Lord your God. What does tamim mean? That's commonly translated as perfect or whole. Now, people might be thinking, "Say, wow, we've seen that word before." Noah,
Noah, tamim haya.
Right, is described as tamim. Abraham is commanded to be tamim. And all offerings brought in the holy temple must be tamim, must be whole, must be complete, must be perfect. Simply put, you want to fix what you broke. So the first step to get tamim, you know, that makes sense to me. You know, if a student wants his tardiness overlooked by his teacher, for example, the teacher is going to demand a consistent punctuality. Don't just tell me how remorseful you are. What have you resolved to do? Demonstrate excellent behavior. So that's how he explains. However, there's a little bit of a different angle, which is really, really beautiful, which was Rashi, the main biblical commentator. He explains that the word tamim in the verse has a different meaning than the tamim used in the other areas of Torah, of whole, perfect, so on. Replace complete, that everyone talks about, with wholehearted, trusting, accepting, as he brings down. So the context of his verse is the prohibition against employing witchcraft in an effort to know the future, in the hope of thinking about or knowing the fear of the unknown. And he talks about that. And there's a debate whether all these things have any value. And God asks us to simply just trust him. Be tamim. Be wholehearted to him, obviously. Don't go looking elsewhere for security and peace of mind. Instead, calmly welcome whatever he brings our way. And obviously we understand confidently that it's our personal good. Show your love for Hashem by wholeheartedly accepting it. So now, when I hold back love, trust, commitment, I damage the ability to forge a perfect relation with God or with a friend. So when I say that I accept you unconditionally, I'm here to stay committed without, you know, reservation, tamim. Even though that there is a time that I mess up, even though that I might not always be 100%, but that is the foundation, the first letter of return, repentance, and repair. I'm here and I accept all that you bring. Now, once we get that clear, even before we've had our behavior repaired, we have returned. We've started teshuvah. So yes, does God mean that I need to be perfect? No, because we're all human, and we're all going to make the mistakes. But God wants us to be tamim, not only to return, to be whole, but he wants us to be wholehearted, trusting, accepting. In what? In him. And that's what teshuvah means. Teshuvah, repenting, returning, means that I am accepting wholeheartedly whatever you do to me. I know I shouldn't be doing this. I'm a natural, normal human being. I need to be able to, you know, repent and do what I need to become closer to that. To, obviously, to God. Committing. And that is the greatness of Hashem, of God, as a father. Like, we don't expect our children to be perfect, but we do expect them that if they do something wrong, to show how are we going to rectify it? How are we going to become
better,
wholeheartedly different to what we did before? And that's only what God demands of us, nothing else. So Hashem should grant every single person, especially now in the month of Elul, where we take stock, taking the idea of an accounting of our whole year thing. What am I going to be different? You know, we blow the shofar at the whole month of Elul as a call to repentance. We say an extra psalm, L'David Hashem Ori. We, you know, it's brought down in the Kabbalah that in the month of Elul, God comes to the field. And people can ask, what do you mean God comes to the field? How is that possibly comes to the field? It's like a king. Every time you want to go and see a king, you need to get an appointment. You need to have a meeting set up in order to go to his palace.
You can't just go.
That's right. So the same thing with God. We something still, you know, throughout the year, we pray. Does he listen? He's not listening. He hears. He gives me whatever. God is, it says, brought down that it's like one time in that month, that whole month of the whole year, God comes to the field. He's literally right here. He tells you, whatever you need, whatever you want, ask. I'm here to give it to you. I want to give it to you. So we should take the stock taking, think what we need to do, think how we're going to become a better person. And by doing that, not only will we return to God, but we'll be wholeheartedly trusting him that whatever he's doing for us is for the good. And with that, God willing, we will be ready to crown him as our king on Rosh Hashanah.
Sounds good. So everybody has to get ready.
That's right. And we have many ways to get ready. Now we have the Sunday morning, Monday, and Thursday morning, minyans in the morning, 7:15 and 8:15 on Sunday to start getting ready for the year, for the week, for the day. Friday evening service at 6:45, followed by Shabbat morning, 9:30. So there's many, many ways to get inspired. And if you don't get to synagogue, inspire yourself at home. Read the English of the prayers, whatever it may be. Just get involved and do something. And with that, it will help you, help us.
Sounds good. Rabbi, I want to wish you a great weekend and Shabbat Shalom.
You too.
And God willing, we'll talk next week.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
We'll see you.
Bye-bye. Okay, bye.